Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Burns stepping into the lane. Here's a chance. Scores! McLeod goes to the net and a bouncing puck, and he banks it in. It's 3-0 Buffalo with 3.5 seconds to go in the second period. A two-goal game for 71.
Ryan McLeod there at the end of the second made it a 3-0 lead, and that ends up being the game winner. Our goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center, Brian Colziel, Pat Malacaro up here in the press box, Paul Hamilton down near the Sabres dressing room. He'll be heading in shortly. Sabres win it 4-2 despite hanging on in the third. Carolina had a ton of possession time. They only had seven shots, though. The Sabres did a good job keeping the puck away from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen at times. And how about this? Just wild stuff. No shots for the Sabres in the period in the third. But they're awarded a goal. And it was announced for McLeod for his hat trick, and now it's just moments ago been changed to Tage Thompson. So McLeod, unfortunately, does not get the hat trick, and I guess what is saying there is that he never even made contact with the puck pad.
Tage Thompson was the last one to possess the puck for the Sabres, so even though Ryan McLeod would have won the race to the puck and the goal is awarded because he was tripped in front of the open net, because he didn't touch it, that goes to the last player that possessed it for the Sabres, and unfortunately for McLeod, that's Tage Thompson.
Yeah, all right, so some weird stats there. The hat trick comes off, still no shots on goal. They get awarded a goal and win 4-2 in a game that probably fans were not thinking they were going to win against Carolina, and the Sabres took advantage maybe of Dustin Tokarski playing in, but also I think for 40 minutes the Sabres were the better team.
Yeah.
I know the third, it's weird how it played out, but for 40 minutes they were the better team.
Led wire to wire, scored 43 seconds in and never trailed in the game, even expanded the lead to 3-0. And give the Sabres credit, they did just enough early on. Dustin Tokarski is, you know, trying to help Carolina as they're decimated by injuries and goal. Made a couple of goals that he'd want to make saves on, and the Sabres scored on them and didn't allow Carolina, even though the Sabres took a couple of penalties, and maybe even one of those penalties wasn't deserved, but the Sabres were able to kill it off. They didn't let that linger, and as a result, it allowed them to open up that lead and preserve that throughout the game.
Yeah, the penalty kill, you mentioned it, a good thing for the Sabres tonight, Pat, as Carolina's got a very good power play and 0-for-3. And a lot of talented players that have burned the Sabres in the past. So for them to get through that, and they really didn't have any opportunities on their own special teams, only just one power play for them the whole night.
And I'll give Lynn...
All right, more in a moment. Down to the room. Here's Dylan Cousins live.
Well, Dylan, you guys got through it. Tell me how you got through it in the third period.
Yeah, you know, we obviously, of course, had to make it interesting there, nerve-wracking, but we found a way. You know, we kept it simple in the third period. We just wanted to get all pucks going north and, you know, limit the turnovers and you know, just keep putting pucks in behind them and try not to give them anything.
Were you feeling it was kind of dangerous since you did spend most of the period in your own end?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think that's the ideal way to do it. But, you know, they were coming hard. They were giving That's a lot of pressure, and you know, we just tried to weather it and keep him to the outside, and we found a way today.
You know, there was obviously in previous games problems with being passive. It struck me that about a minute ago there was a shift where Jack really started attacking the puck. Did you just get the sense that was what you guys needed, somebody to go out and just attack the puck?
Yeah, I think it's good to be aggressive there, especially when they have their back turned, and try and force them to make a bad play or a play into pressure. And, you know, I think we were more aggressive tonight. We were assertive, and, you know, we played with confidence.
Talk about your goal. Looked like real good anticipation by Alex Tuck to cause the turnover.
Yeah, he just laid it right into me, and I had all day to walk right down the middle there. You know, that's a dream right there, that amount of time and that amount of space.
Dylan, did it feel like a bit of a mental hurdle to clear to be able to close the game out, just to kind of flush the other games that hadn't gone so well?
Yeah, for sure. You get nervous, and especially when they have that amount of pressure, and you know, we struggled to close out games in the past, so obviously you're a little nervous. But you know, we had a meeting and talked about how if we give one up, just, you know, keep that confidence. You know, it's fine. You know, teams give up goals, and you know, not to change anything. And I found a way.
The message in the timeout was just don't sit back.
Yeah, it's just you know, we're good here. Don't give into the pressure too much. Just play smart, play with confidence, and just get it done.
What got you out to the 3-goal lead? Wow, how did you guys play, and what got you there?
Yeah, I think you know, we obviously came out with a good start, and you know, we just kept pushing. I think we capitalized on a couple of our chances there, which is big. And you know, Upi was obviously great for us in net, and you know, closed the door for pretty much the whole game. So yeah, it was a good game. Yeah, I mean, he's just so confident. We're so confident in him back there. You know, when he's playing like that, he's a top goalie in this league. And, you know, he's a top goalie in this league. So, you know, we love having him back there. And, you know, he's just going to keep getting better and better.
Dylan Cousins, and now we have Ryan McLeod over here next to us. Ryan, I got to ask, on the last play, did you actually touch the puck before your stick got demolished?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Because they gave the goal to Tage, because I guess they say he was the last one to touch it, but I didn't know if you touched it or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I honestly have no idea. I can't really remember the little bit of a blur, so, yeah.
Still a 2-goal game for you. Maybe disappointed you didn't get the hat trick, but still you have to be happy with the 2.
Yeah, you know, it's a huge win for us. You know, as a group we're trying to build, and you know, it's a good team we just beat.
What was the message in the timeout? Just don't be passive and just don't play scared, I guess?
Yeah. Stay calm. You know, we've worked on this the last little while, and we know what we're doing. And you know, I think that timeout really calmed us down, and you know, we were able to get the win.
What about the goal right before the period ended? You won the faceoff, but you didn't stand there and admire your work. You went straight for the net. I mean, could you see that, you know, the defender or the centerman wasn't going to cover you and you had a lane to get there?
You know, it's just kind of one of those plays, end of the game or end of the period. There's what, like 8 seconds left. I just thought, you know, maybe take a chance to score in the net, and you know, Zucks, you know, almost scored extra from the corner, and it just, you know, kind of bounced me there, and I was all alone and just got a lucky bounce.
The first goal, I mean, we always talk about pucks to the net. You're just trying to get a shot early in the game there, still feeling the puck.
Yeah, you know, the changeup goes in once in a while, so it's nice to get that one early. But yeah, just trying to get pucks there, get more pucks there as a team. And you know, I saw an opportunity and put it on that and went in.
You came from the bench. Did you read that almost right away, that there was some open space there?
I don't know. Just kind of developed, and you know, Cliffy made a good play in the middle, and went in.
How much of an emphasis for your game has it been to get to the net like you did on that second goal?
Yeah. I think the message of the team was, you know, you get more pucks and more bodies to the net, and I think we did a good job of that tonight. You know, they're a team who prides themselves on shot volume, and you know, we kind of wanted to match that, and I think we did a good job for the first, you know, first 40, and you know, it worked out for us tonight.
Ryan McLeod, Brian, and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is over near his locker here. Actually, I'm going to throw it back to you, and we'll have Ukko in a bit.
Thank you, Paul. We'll talk to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who was outstanding in this game tonight as the Sabres win it 4-2. And yes, no shots in the third. Looks like that's going to stick, and the goal is now going to be Thompson. Pat McLeod said he wasn't sure if he touched it. I guess not.
Yeah, just looking at the replay a couple of moments ago, it looks like Burns blows up the stick before he gets a piece of it. I want to credit Lindy Ruff for taking his time out.
Yes.
After the goal about to make it 3-2.
It was 3:10 left in the game.
The Hurricanes pulled the goaltender.
Yep. All right, we'll talk about that in a second. More now here with Luukkonen with Paul.
Well, it was a big one for us. I think we played well, whole 60. Wasn't perfect, but I feel like, you know, even though we kind of turned it more defensive in the end there, I think we did a good job with it and still played confident. So, big win for us.
What allowed you to? It seemed like for most of the third, you still had your composure, even though they always had the puck, it seemed like. Just what allowed you to keep your composure, I guess?
I think the same thing as in Ottawa. I think, you know, we defended well. We were boxing out well. You know, we were taking care of rebounds. You know, I feel like it looked better than it was again, and I think that was the biggest thing.
How about in the beginning, you took the 1-0 lead, then took two consecutive penalties. I think maybe you only had to handle one really good chance on Aho in the slot, and it seemed like the penalty kill kept everything to the outside. It seemed like that was a big part of the game, too, that you were able to hold your lead through those two penalty kills.
100%. It was a big, big start for us, and I feel like, you know, two good kills was huge for us, too. So I feel like you've been, you know, doing a good job with the penalty kill. And I feel like most of the games, you know, the guys are, you know, taking really a lot of pride on it. The guys who play on it, they want to block the shots and, you know, kind of keep there or take the moment to our side. So, you know, overall, I think it was a big thing for us.
How difficult have the last 3 days been? You have that terrible collapse against Seattle, and all these other teams are winning games while you're sitting around, and your deficit is over 10 points for the first time. Just how tough mentally has it been to get ready for this game?
I haven't looked, you know, the standings. I haven't looked the points. In the end, that just right now we kind of have dug our own hole. Nobody's gonna help us out of it. You know, so it's up to us. It doesn't matter what the other teams are doing, if they're winning or losing. In the end, it's up to us. I don't think we gain anything from like hoping and, you know, wishing that, you know, some other team will win. It's, you know, it's in our hands right now. It has been the whole season, and as I said, we dug the hole ourselves, and we, you know, nobody else is coming to help us out of it.
How much do you feel like your calmness, your poise, like you had tonight in the third, can kind of help the team in some of these late game situations when you're trying to hold on to the lead?
Yeah, I feel like that's something, you know, I kind of have to be better to. I'm part of the team. We haven't been good enough on closing the game, so. You know, that's kind of what I talked about before the season. I want to be part of the solution. I'm going to be part of the, part of, you know, helping the team win. So I think today, as I said, as a team, we did a good job. And, you know, I was glad that I could, you know, help the guys to kind of pull this one through.
Luko Pekka, Luukkonen, and Brian, if I can hold you through here and not get cut off, I just want to say you guys are right. First of all, it was because McLeod didn't touch the puck and Thompson was the last one, and you don't get a shot on net if you don't actually take a shot. So that's why you could actually score that goal and not have a shot on goal, and that's why there's not a shot for that.
Yep, wild stat. Thank you, Paul, for confirming that. Yeah, that they are able to get no shots. I know you were talking about Luukkonen beforehand. He obviously was a big part of this win.
Yeah, he made some big saves for the team when they needed it. And then again, Nate just gets the one-time goal with the empty net. Lindy Ruff calls the timeout, settles things down a little bit. And from that point on, yeah, I think Carolina maybe had another chance or two, but the Sabres did a really nice job of not letting panic set in and really making sure that they were steady. And I think taking the timeout there really was a key to them not letting this thing unravel when we've seen that happen a couple of times, especially in recent memory.
For sure. And there's been many times where we've been sitting up here over the last decade where we've been thinking, hey, whoever's behind the bench for the Sabres coach, rattle off all the names. Hey, you should use a timeout here, or you should think about using a timeout here. And a lot of the times it's not been used, and I think that was the right time for Lindy to do it.
Absolutely. So Lindy, you know, sensing things could have gotten away from them, takes the timeout, and then, you know, the Sabres win this one and can maybe use this as a springboard against a Pittsburgh team that, you know, has been a little bit up and down this year.
For sure. All right. We'll get to Lindy Ruff here coming up in a moment, hear what he has to say. While we wait for him, let's get some final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Again, it looks so weird. Shots in the third, zero for the Sabres, but awarded a goal. It wasn't actually put in. Seven for Carolina in the third. All right, here's Lindy Ruff. Here he is live. Here we go.
The end, the last minute or so, you got aggressive and it won you the hockey game.
Yeah, you know, we called the timeout and just said we gotta go. You know, I thought we didn't challenge the defenseman on the cross seam pass, and you know, allowed that seam play to be made and put us in a tough spot. But just told them that, listen, we've talked about this. We've gone over it. Just go.
And Jack Quinn seemed to take that lesson to heart. I mean, he was a guy who really made a couple plays there and went for the puck.
Yeah. Krebs, same thing. Yeah. Just go. We've talked about it. We've gone through it. We've practiced it. We're going to continue to practice it. Get aggressive, because you give good players that amount of time, they'll find a hole.
It still seems like you had most of the period and scored twice, but it still seemed like you kept your composure most of the period. Just what allowed you?
I thought our intentions were real good. I mean, look, we didn't have shots, but we had two breakaways. We had a 2-on-1. We had Dahlin walk in that didn't shoot. There was lots of really good opportunities to get the puck on the net. I know a couple flank shots that got blocked, but the intentions and the way we played were good.
Ryan McLeod scores early. I guess he has a hat trick now. But just in general, you moved him up for a while. I mean, what did you think of the overall game, and he's starting to go to the net and produce again?
Well, I looked at the way the top line was going. I didn't have too much going on, so I just flipped those two centermen. And you know, I think you look at the goal at the end of the period, it turns out to be a real big goal for us, to get the third. And it was an opportunity, once I switched, I think Cousin scored the next shift. So worked out pretty well for us.
How big was it? I mean, sometimes centermen win that draw and they get frozen. But he won the draw and just went immediately to the net, which is obviously a huge play by him.
Yeah, well, I think you got to realize that there was only eight point something seconds left and you got to get to the net on it. Thanks.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff and his press conference brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. 4-2 Buffalo as we bring it back up here to the press box. The official score sheet still says Thompson, although we're being told from Sabres PR that maybe it is now, that it is a McLeod hat trick goal. So who knows? Want to have fun tracking stats, pull up an NHL score sheet. It changes by the second with everything. With shots and saves and goals and assists. And, let the confusion begin here. But nevertheless, it doesn't change the final score. The Sabres win 4-2. And, again, the official score sheet still says Thompson. But now the Sabres PR department saying that McLeod's goal counted, so as a third. Anyway. Nevertheless, at this point, we will say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you'd like to keep listening to the postgame, you can go to WGR550.com, or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. And for all of you listening on WGR, more postgame coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take when we return. More stats, more highlights. We'll see if the stats update and change again. But the Sabres beat Carolina tonight 4-2 in front of 13,449 here at KeyBank Center. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Plays it to the wing. There's a shot stopped and the rebound. Lukanen looks behind him, comes back to the point. Burns near circle shot. Saved by Lukanen with the gloves. And a great stop by Ukko Pekka Lukanen, and is Carolina moving around on the power play.
Now Ukko Pekka Lukanen, that was one of his 18 saves in the second period. He was very busy on one of Carolina's three power plays, but Lukanen ends up with second star honors. That one, our save of the game with Dan Dunleavy on the call. Brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Get all your great deals on the entire Honda lineup as your local Honda dealer today. Welcome back here to KeyBank Center. Brian Colziel with you. 4-2, the final. Pat Mellicaro and Paul Hamilton as well. And if you're listening in your car on your way home from KeyBank Center, we appreciate you listening. Your drive home from the game brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet. Kick off 2025 with a new Chevy from Paddock. You can send me some thoughts on Twitter if you'd like, at BrianWGR. We'll read some tweets coming up here in a moment as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. We'll get to the tweets in a moment, but Paul first, as we go down to Paul Hamilton in the media room. Well, Paul, the Sabres, I guess, tried to make it interesting again. They were up 3-0 heading to the third. They gave up two goals, but they found a way to pull it out in a very different way without even getting a shot in the third. But for all the blown leads that they have not converted, they do have to get some credit for finishing this one tonight.
Yeah, now who has the goal now?
Well, the official game summary scoring sheet, it still says Thompson as of this moment.
And we, Paul, we have not received the final game sheets yet. So usually the final stat sheet has not been closed.
Do you keep
that
refreshing
we finally
it?
Received it? Yes.
Yeah, normally toward the end of post game, usually we get that one brought to us, but we have not been brought it yet. So at least the online version of the official score sheet, it still has a Thompson goal.
I think that's right, because I just don't think McLeod ever touched the puck. He didn't know, as you heard.
Yeah.
And I think his stick got smashed before he ever touched the puck. What is definitely right is you don't get a shot on goal because you never put the puck in the net. There was never a shot, which is weird to get a goal without a shot, but you got an awarded goal. So, well, it's the same thing on a penalty shot. I don't think you get a shot on goal for a penalty shot, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look that up, but I don't believe you do. The puck never was shot on goal. So I think the correct way that this will break down is Thompson gets the goal and they do not get a shot on goal. But who knows? This is the NHL. They only changed the shot six times at the end of the second period. Six times they changed the shots. So, at least they got to change the goal six times, don't they?
It may, yes, which is why I'm not even just going to say anything. I'm just going to say they were awarded a goal. Who had it, whether it was a hat trick or not. It's too bad sometimes you can't celebrate those moments. McLeod, there should have been hats all over the ice. McLeod, you should have been loving it. But there were some. You're right.
Yeah, but you can't even enjoy it. But, he would say, too, it's nice to get the goals, but – if you're going to score a hat trick, you'd like to put the puck in the net yourself.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, let's talk about the final 3:10. Nature scores on, a beautiful goal, a one-time blast. Carolina, they're talented. We have seen them do that many other times before. So let's pick it up right from there. If there's 3:10 left, it's now 3-2. And I know you like to use the phrase, uh-oh, that the Sabres maybe get that mentality. Lindy Ruff takes a timeout. What are you thinking at that point? Was that the right spot for Lindy to do it? And kind of just take me through what you were thinking at that moment.
They were way too passive again. They were doing nothing of what Lindy Ruff taught them after the last time. He went over it with them. He practiced it. He wanted aggression. He didn't want you sitting back and making them look like the Harlem Globetrotters. Because as he said in the postgame, if you let good players and you give them creases and stuff like you did when they scored the goal and just sit back, they're going to score. And I almost guarantee you, had they not finally listened to Lindy Ruff at that timeout, they would have wound up in overtime. Carolina would have tied the game. There are too many good players. And they finally listened, and then Carolina couldn't get set up. The Sabres just kept going straight for the puck. Go for the puck. Go for the guy with the puck. Make him make a play quickly. Don't let him sit there and look around and, okay, we're going to go here. And now we got on the side wall. And, okay, as I wait here, you go to the center and I'll hit you there. And don't let them make those decisions. Make them make plays right off the bat. You either make a play or you don't. And they kept intercepting the puck and getting it out. And it worked exactly the way Lindy Ruff told them it would work if they would do it that way. And they did it. They didn't do it to start. But they, after the timeout, they finally listened. Krebs, Quinn, there were others that I'm missing, that you just got aggressive to it. and they were able to get pucks out to the neutral zone. They were able to get pucks out, and they finally – anybody has any doubt that Ryan McLeod isn't the second fastest skater in the NHL, go watch that empty net goal. He was – the Carolina Hurricanes were ahead of him. And when Thompson went down or took the shot and hit the post, again, McLeod just like somebody shot him out of a cannon, just flew by those two. And I think it was Burns maybe that blew his stick up knowing that, well, got to do something here. And, of course, that's going to be awarded a goal. Usually when you see a goal scored on without going in the net, it's when somebody throws their stick. You know, right. It's just desperation. I've seen that many times. Not as much now as maybe when I was a kid. You would see it all the time with the goaltender pulled. Somebody would throw their stick, and the other player was awarded the goal. That's probably why I knew that they weren't going to get a shot on goal, because I've seen it too many times where the puck didn't actually go in the net, but they were awarded the goal. So by that time, you know, it smashes the stick, and you know you're going to get awarded a goal. Now, some folks thought a penalty shot was being awarded, but the referee was actually pointing that it was a goal. And the hats came out, and everybody was celebrating a hat trick. But, again, and I'm going by memory because I got to get downstairs. So I did not see a replay. You guys have, and it sounds like you didn't see him actually touch the puck either.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's within, like, a half a second. If he touched it, you can't really tell. The puck never – it just kind of glides past it.
Yeah, the replay I saw, I did not see – physical evidence of the stick touching the puck.
Yeah.
So now I understand, and now we're being handed the final sheet, Paul, physically here, and it does stick with Thompson. So unless something changes overnight, maybe this, we've seen this in the past, Paul, right, where teams will send it back and say, hey, we want you to relook at this or whatever. But right now it says Thompson.
Well, I had finished writing my article. It was about 3 minutes after 12. I was still here. Looked at Twitter right before I was going to pack up and saw they had changed the Sabres goal. I think Tuck wound up getting a goal or something. And
yeah.
So I had to go back, edit my article, as did some other folks here who were just finishing up. So that was 12:03 that they tweeted out that the NHL tweeted out that they had changed the goal. I don't know why you needed 2 hours to change the goal, but they did. So, yeah, you're right. At 12:03, you may go online and see it's been changed again. Who knows?
That's right. Paul, let's talk about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen tonight. He was very busy in the second. 18 shots now is the number, and he makes he had 37 in the game, so 35 saves. Second star honors. It seemed as though like he was kind of, even through some of the bad moments in the third, I kind of got the mentality from him like, I am not letting this happen tonight.
Yeah. All night long. I mean, he, in my mind, is the first star. Now, I know when they awarded the first star McLeod, they thought he scored a hat trick. I can live with that. But, who was the Sabres' best player? Why did they win? It was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Now, McLeod, if somebody wanted to make a case for him to be first star, that's a great play at the end of the period where he wins the draw, goes straight to the net and scores. A lot of centermen wouldn't even have been at the net. And he was. And, just to see the opening spot in the first period, too, to get himself down the slot open. Now, the save should have been made there. So you could make a case that he really earned his goals. And even the third goal that he didn't get, it was amazing how fast he was. And there's some people who think he's faster than McDavid. I mean, there were no question in people's mind who watched the Oilers that they had the top two skaters in the NHL as far as speed goes. I would say McDavid's probably a shade faster, but yep. McLeod doesn't take a back seat to him, I'll tell you that. And it was mind-boggling to see him make up ground, get past those guys with the speed that he showed on the empty netter.
Paul, the last thing I want to ask you about, Dylan Cousins, one of his quotes, just about, they asked him about, finishing the game here and not giving up the lead. And he said twice in an answer that he goes, he started the answer by saying, you get nervous, especially when they have that kind of pressure. And later in the answer, then he says, we had a meeting, and said, hey, if we give one up, we're going to keep the confidence. And then eventually said, we found a way. But later in that answer, too, he said about getting nervous. So I'm not picking individually on Dylan Cousins here. He just happened to say it tonight. But that obviously is what this team is thinking when they have a lead and it starts to slip or they start to give one up against here. And I guess I'll ask you, do you think at some point that will change? Can Lindy Ruff fix that? Or are you going to tell me what you always say is this is who they are and this is who they maybe always will be? What do you think about that?
I think we've seen enough of them to know this is who they are. They snapped out of it. I mean, they're not always going to do it. They Washington scored late.
And they ended up winning the shootout.
And they won that game.
Yep.
You know, they held it together. They won that game. So it doesn't happen every time. It was on its way to happening this time, but they snapped out of it. As I told you, they did exactly what Lindy Ruff told them to do, were aggressive. It looked great when they were doing it. Carolina really never got set up after that because the Sabres were right on them. They never let them. The puck got in, but the Sabres were right on them, and somebody was right on them, and then the puck would be bouncing around, and then the Sabres would come up with the puck and get it out. You know, and that's exactly what Lindy Ruff told them to do. So it was, if they would do more of that, they would be a better team. You know, especially when they get in those desperate situations. If you added up their time in the offensive zone in the third period, if you got to a minute, I would be surprised. You know, Lindy Ruff went down a couple of chances that they had. They did. They had a couple of chances in there. But I don't think they were in the offensive zone for any more than a minute in the third period. Now, it wasn't a shooting gallery the whole time. There were times where they did hold their composure. There were times where it was like, oh, here it goes again, you know, and Luukkonen would have to make a great save and did. So it was, you know, I don't think the shots were bad in the second period, but I don't think the second period was as bad. You know, Buffalo did have some offensive zone time. I think a lot of what Carolina did in the second period was from the outer limits. Luukkonen saw a lot of shots from out at, you know, with some space out near the blue line and that type of thing. But it got a little squirrely in the third period. And, you know, they got the one goal. You could see it coming. You could just see it coming. They were turning the puck over. They were getting hemmed in, the whole thing, and it came. It finally came. Now, Luukkonen was screened by two of his own guys and never saw it. But then they pull the goalie, just like Colorado, with about 3 minutes left. I think there was 3:33 left. And sure enough, you know, the Sabres sat back. They weren't aggressive. And Natchez winds up open in that left circle with a one-timer. He's not going to miss from there. And, you know, you know what we were all thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and as I think they were too. And then it's like, hang on. Here we go, and they're sitting back again, and I can't say it enough how, you know, they won the game because they finally listened to their head coach, got aggressive, and wound up not only getting pucks out but scoring the open net goal. In Colorado, they never even got close to the empty net, not even close.
Paul, thanks so much for your work tonight. Appreciate it, and we will hear from you again on Friday with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room. Sabres win it 4-2. Again, Pittsburgh Friday at 7. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame starting at 6. Another key aspect of the Sabres tonight, their victory, their penalty kill. Carolina's power play 0-for-3 tonight, including a couple of big ones. Right after McLeod scored, the Sabres essentially are shorthanded for almost 4 minutes straight. Lafferty goes at 6:10 of the first, and then McLeod at 8:18. So it's basically almost four straight minutes there where the Sabres had to kill off Carolina's power play attempt. So good job tonight by Buffalo on the penalty kill. Your power play and penalty kill update, it's your Dynabrade power play update, powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Good news on the injury front. Jiří Kulik may be back, and possibly as early as Friday. He's beginning to skate again. Lindy Ruff said don't count him out for Friday, but they are planning on bringing him on the trip. Next week, the Sabres go to Seattle, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton for four games out west. And Kulik, according to Lindy Ruff, at least as of yesterday or this morning, said that Kulik's going to go on the trip. So that is good news there on the injury front. The injury report is brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health's St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joes. Okay, we'll update you on the standings. But we've got to see what's happening elsewhere. Pat, you get an easy night tonight on the scoreboard.
Yeah, Brian, it's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. There's only one other game ongoing. Matt Boldy gets his 17th of the season pretty early on, helping Minnesota out to a 1-0 lead over Edmonton. Again, that's the only other game in the NHL tonight. Sabres won't be in action again here until Friday, so a couple of days off. Elsewhere, the Bills had a walkthrough practice today in Orchard Park in preparation for their division round matchup Sunday evening against the Ravens, and the Bills announcing their injury report earlier this afternoon as well. Full participants, including kick returner Brandon Codrington, wide receiver Amari Cooper, who's dealing with a back issue, Matt Milano still with the biceps, and Greg Russo, a finger injury. Ray Davis, with a concussion, was limited in practice today. Also, Alec Anderson, limited with a calf injury. And lastly, we take a ride back down to Olean tonight, where St. Bonaventure was in action against Richmond, and the Bonnies defeat the Spiders 63-49 for St. Bonaventure at the Riley Center tonight. Get back in the win column after an 8-10 loss to LaSalle over the weekend.
Yeah, nice bounce back there, and Bonaventure now 15-3. It's having a great year. I know Joe Lenardi's last, if you don't know the name, from ESPN is Bracketology. Each week he comes out with, or each couple days he comes out with his latest, you know, projected bracket. And he had Bonaventure as an at-large bid.
And for a team that really didn't return any of their, majority of their team from last year, Mark Schmidt again working wonders down in Olean. And perennially this team and this program is in the conversation in the A-10.
Yes, I agree. All right, Pat. So the Sabres win and get to 39 points. The closest team is the Islanders. The Islanders at 41 points, so two behind. And they, right now, Buffalo with this win tonight, are now nine back of Columbus.
Who had Columbus? Well, and with all that went on in the offseason, you know, the tragic passing of Johnny Gaudreau, the impact that would have on the team, they've rallied and they found a way to, you know, we're not 20 games into the season. We're past the halfway point now. For them to be in a playoff spot, they are one of the pleasant surprises of this NHL season.
Yeah. Now, you look at these teams that are all jumbled up here, from Columbus, who's the last team in, all the way down to the bottom to Buffalo. These teams still aren't playing great. You know, you got, if I'm just looking at the last 10 games, the Islanders, 5-5, the Rangers, 4-4-2, Pittsburgh, who Buffalo has next, 2-5-3. Mm-hmm. They've lost three in a row. Philadelphia, 4-4-2. The Sabres are 6-3-1 in their last 10. That's the best record of the bottom five. But you still have to remember, all these teams are going to play each other.
Yep.
And you've got Columbus, who's won 8 of 10. They're 8-2 in their last. So that's been better. And then, you know, Montreal and Detroit have really made a move as of late. They've won, both of them have won 7 of their last 10.
That's the thing. The two teams in your own division. Forgetting about the other division even for a moment, Detroit and Montreal, the next two teams in your own division, you're 5 points behind Detroit. They lost their first game after removing Derek Lalonde from head coach, installing Todd McClelland. But to go 7-3, picking up points in 7 of those 10, even Montreal, 7-2-1 in those last 10. So even in your own division, you haven't gained any ground, because net in your last 10 games, Detroit and Montreal have two more points, regardless of overtimes or shootouts. So it's, you know, a spot right there where you still haven't really made up any ground despite the streak you've been on because of the hole you put yourself in December.
Yeah. 4-2 Buffalo. Let's read a couple of tweets here as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. You can always send me your thoughts after each and every game at Brian WGR. Sabres fan 11 says, two huge PKs after the first goal and a big timeout by Ruff. Oh, you mentioned that earlier about the timeout and the timing of it.
Yeah, and I think Dylan Cousins in the what we heard from the locker room just kind of confirmed the calm steadiness of a head coach who was able to read the situation, understood his team was starting to feel the pressure. Nature scores. Let's settle down. You've played well to this point to preserve the lead. Don't give it up now. What have you learned from?
Yeah, Jim says, good to finish, but can't follow that recipe to do it again in another game in the third with no shots.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to get some offense going. This is an anomaly. It's a one-off, but I'll give the team credit. You know, as Paul said, they really did not have much zone time in that third period. But you know, how many quality chances did Carolina have? They had a few. There's no doubt Ukko Pekkalukkonen was the best player for the Sabres to preserve the win. But you never had the time where, outside of the pulled goaltender, where the Sabres really, it was chance after chance after chance, and they found a way to really keep Carolina from putting multiple shifts back to back to back together to get this one tied.
All right, Pat. It's a good thing I just hit refresh on the score sheet.
Has it been updated?
You want to guess?
Ryan McLeod has the hat trick.
It's now a Ryan McLeod goal.
There you have it.
Yes. All right, so it's a hat trick night for McLeod.
But that's the thing. Like,
yes.
It's the quirkiness of the whole situation. Maybe he got a piece of it, and now the NHL is saying, yes, he did. There's no denying that he was the player that was interfered with, that was had the stick knocked out of his hand. So regardless of if he was the last one to touch the puck, I think the credit of the goal should go to him, regardless, hat trick, first of the night, whatever. That, logically speaking, it should have been his goal all along.
Yes, and we know this league doesn't always do things logically. However, if you're going to award the goal based on the presumption that he was going to put it into the empty net, or if you were going to call a penalty in a situation that would have been awarded a penalty shot because he was clearly going to go in and get the puck and put it in, and because there's no goalie, you award the goal so you don't have to waste the time doing a penalty shot into an empty net. It should have been McLeod's goal. However, by the spirit of the rule, it's the person who last touched the puck that gets the... But it was being awarded because it was going to be McLeod. I guess there's a little gray area there.
And yes. I mean, by that, the NHL is saying that they've watched the... I'm gonna speak for the league, but based on them updating it, they're saying, in their eyes, Ryan McLeod did touch the puck before Brent Burns chopped the stick out of his hands, and he was the last one to touch, possess the puck, and as a result, it's his goal.
Yes. Well, it's his first career NHL hat trick. So
all the hats went for naught.
For his sake, I hope it stands, and congratulations to him. But it's still a 4-2 win. And, yes, I do agree with Jim's tweet there. It's not a recipe in the third to do what you do, to just say no shots, no possession time in the offensive end. Let's just try and hang on here up 3-0. That's not the best recipe for success. But they were able to, after giving up that second goal, figure out a way. The final two or so minutes, there wasn't those, like, just constant fire away at Lukanen kind of moments. I think they did handle it very well. I mean, ultimately, Carolina still only had 8 shots in the third. So they, in some sense, did a good job, despite the fact that, again, you look at what the stats would say and the offensive zone time would say, and you'd say, oh, geez, that's not how you should do it. So, yeah, it's just a quirky game.
It is. Look, a lot of scrambly plays.
I guess I should say.
A lot of scrambly plays result in penalties. And I know the officials tend to put the whistle away in the third period and let the players decide on the ice, but you high stick, you blatantly take someone down, it can result in a power play, and all of a sudden that 3-1 lead becomes 3-3 because they score on a power play, tie it, and then all bets are off, which we've seen in the past. So, again, credit the Sabres for not allowing that to happen and not allowing Carolina those chances.
Yeah, and I would say overall, over the course of the game, I still would say the Sabres deserved to win. They were the better team through two periods for sure. And, you just like them to handle the third a little bit better, but they found a way to get it done, so kudos to them here. So, again, next is Pittsburgh on Friday night at 7 o'clock. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6, and then Buffalo heads out west next week. Seattle is a 4 p.m. game on Martin Luther King Day, so note the start time there. And then some of the later games, Vancouver is 10 on Tuesday, Calgary is 9 on Thursday, and then Edmonton is at 4 on Saturday. So there you have it there with what's upcoming for the Sabres. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks to Paul down in the room here as we put a wrap on things here tonight from KeyBank Center. Hope everybody, if you were with me throughout, we appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the post-game coverage. And we want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. To the crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacaro, Paul Hamilton. Our engineer was Tom Maddy, the Bulldog on the pregame, and, of course, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray on the call. I'm Brian Colziel, the final again from KeyBank Center. Buffalo 4, Carolina 2. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next on Friday. Sabres and Penguins right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.